Welcome to The Watershed, the Charlottesville Waldorf School podcast. Each week, we will explore a different wonder of Waldorf education in order to shine a light upon the many beautiful depths and reaches of such a rich and nourishing educational methodology. Please join us on our journey through The Watershed. This week, I had a chance to sit down with Michael Wright, the faculty chair at the Charlottesville Waldorf School. We discuss the weekly Wednesday coffee mornings that he hosts and why he thinks it's so important that parents, families, and other members of the community have a chance to experience what a Waldorf student learns and practices within our classrooms. Please enjoy my conversation with Michael Wright.
We could spend a little time talking about what these ideas of coffee mornings are that I've been having with parents on Wednesday mornings. And for parents who... You know, so many times it happens, they ask their child, well, what did you do at school today? And sometimes you get a picture of it, and other times it's hard. Often children will relate to you the last experience they had of the day, and which for them is what their day was like. And so if it was a great experience, it was a great day, and if somebody said something to them, it wasn't so nice on the way out the door, then it was a terrible day. You just don't know. But for parents to be able to get a little better picture of what it is that their children are experiencing in a Waldorf school, they need to have those experiences too, and you know, and be able to process them, of course, as an adult, but then, you know, they can begin to imagine what it must be like in a group of children. And it's a rare opportunity for parents to be able to sit in a Waldorf class. Just usually doesn't happen for a lot of reasons, and we find that, you know, when we do have tours and people come in and see what's going on in the class, stay for a brief time, teacher candidates we have come in and observe, it's a truism that there's a dynamic happening in a classroom, and if you bring other people into the classroom, the dynamic changes, and in large part because children's attention span and their ability to focus on the material that they're involved in can go through a real change if people enter the room, leave the room, or are even in the room. But at any rate, parents, I think, appreciate an opportunity to get a little picture of what's going on in the classroom and have experiences. And that's really the basis of what I'm trying to bring to parents on our Wednesday mornings for the coffee hours. So we've covered a number of topics, and we've had a pretty steady group. Some try to make it every Wednesday, and that's excellent to have a core group of people like that, and others have come and gone. And we really try to keep it free-flowing because it's Wednesday morning and a lot of people have to work or they have other appointments. So we've tried to keep it very comfortable so that people can come and go as they need to. And I don't think that disturbs the flow of it. So often we'll begin with some movement, and that's what we do in the Waldorf schools with the students, and it's nice for the parents to have an opportunity to move. And of course, as adults, we all, or most of us, need to find more opportunities to move, and it's fun, it's play, and out of those movement activities, we can, as adults, go into a conversation about that that wouldn't be held with the children, because the children experience it and then move on to another experience. But as adults, we can reflect on those experiences, and it's been really, for me, fascinating, and I hope for participants, interesting to hear the different reflections that parents have on their experiences, because we all experience things differently. And in discussion in a group around something we've all done together, it's really something to get a picture of how that affects us physically, emotionally, intellectually, and share that with one another. And that's, for me, part of the joy of these Wednesday mornings has been the level of conversation that's taken place and the enthusiasm of parents that have come to talk about these ideas and enthusiasm for the activities themselves, but really willingness to share and in some cases become fairly vulnerable in terms of their relationship to those experiences, because we know in a group, as we do something together, there's not only the consciousness that we have within ourselves of what it is that we're experiencing, but the self-consciousness, but there's also the group consciousness. And it's been interesting. Some people have reflected on what they've had to work through in the course of their life and shared memories from their childhood of being intimidated by being asked to do certain things with in a group, and actually not being able to perform them because they've emotionally frozen up and just haven't been able to, and have carried some of that with them into adulthood. And sometimes when you can have similar movements or similar interactions with a group and movement and in a comfortable and in supportive atmosphere, there's actually healing that can take place. So that's another aspect of, I think, the importance of something that can be offered in a Waldorf school to the community, because it's coming out of our understanding of education, child development, human development, and self-development. So that's just another part of the picture. In our Wednesday mornings, we've looked at, in the beginning of the year, one of the first festivals that come up is Michaelmas. And Michaelmas is a new festival in the world. It's something that's not celebrated in any other schools I know of besides Waldorf schools. There's a Michael Mass that comes out of the Christian tradition. This festival is... many Waldorf schools celebrate Michaelmas, in fact, probably most. And I would assume that many schools are still trying to figure out what Michaelmas is and maybe have some answers that they're working with and some form that it's taken over the years. Rudolf Steiner presented quite a bit in the lectures about Michaelmas and the Archangel Michael. And so in our school here in Charlottesville, there has been a certain form that it's taken over the years. And of course, it's a fall festival, and it's a festival of courage. And there is a play involved with the old story of St. George and the dragon. And the dragon is overcome and subdued and brought into a relationship with the townspeople to be helpful to them rather than a threat and a danger to them. So there's all kinds of metaphors that one can begin to develop around that story. And that's what we did during a few sessions of the coffee mornings in the fall. How can, first of all, what is it that the children are going to be involved in? What activities has the school done? Because that's an informative aspect. But also, how can we as adults really move into experiencing Michaelmas and this festival in our own inner lives? And we looked at and talked about how human consciousness has been changing over time, and with the advent of the Industrial Revolution and the development of materialism in the Western consciousness, how we've created a separation between ourselves and the natural world. And here we are in the fall, where what a beautiful time the autumn can be with the colors and all of the endings of summer, all the feelings that arise, smells, colors, sounds of autumn, and the coming of winter. And we did some consideration about the ancient times and really what it was for ancient people to look at the coming of winter and what that meant to people that were really dependent upon nature and natural world and their relationship to it and their understanding of it and their ability to deal with it in a way that made their survival through the winter possible. or at least more comfortable. And that consciousness has changed for most of us now, with our heated homes and heated cars and grocery stores, and that is not part of our consciousness. And how, in our separation from nature, has that changed our whole relationship to not only to nature but to ourselves? So that was part of our conversation and study through the fall. And then another piece that we picked up was around literacy and reading and writing and in the Waldorf schools, and having some experiences, movement experiences through that, and helping and hoping to develop an understanding that literacy, reading, and writing in the Waldorf schools really begins usually at home with a very, very young child in the nurturing environment of the home with the mother and father or caretakers, whoever they might be, and developing this very early love of language through fairy tales or through nursery rhymes and rhythmic verses. And one of the interesting things that came out of that was a realization that our earliest experiences with language after we're born, because many researchers are now realizing that a child's first relationship to language is to the mother's voice while still in utero. But after birth and really the early days of development in a child, interesting to consider the association that the child has with language being the association with the nearness, warmth, comfort of the nurturing adult who is sharing the language, who is sharing the nursery rhymes, who is sharing the stories at bedtime or at calm times during the day. And that connection with language and the nurturing person and the association of a loving, calm time together. So that's really or can be thought of as the beginning of literacy, a love of language. And we spent some time in our mornings looking at how this is further developed in the Waldorf Early Childhood Program, consciously taken up in such a way that in the child's early development and understanding that it's really the lower senses, and we did some investigation into Rudolf Steiner's picture of the 12 senses and the 4 lower senses, which are the first that we develop as developing children, the sense of life or the sense of well-being, we call it, and the proprioceptive senses and the vestibular senses and the sense of touch and the sense of balance, and how these develop in the child and really create the possibilities for later cognitive development, and also how those senses really prepare the child's body and mind for taking up the work with reading and writing, which we then begin in grade 1 when the child has really developed to the point where they're physically prepared to take up the learning in that way. And that involved, understanding that involved a little bit of current edge thinking in neuroscience and brain development and right brain, left brain dominance, and an understanding of what the postural and primitive reflexes represent in our neurosystems and integration of those. So we were able to cover a lot of topics in that area that helped then develop an understanding for how in grade 1 if a child is prepared and is developed through a maturation process in grade one, is really the ideal time to begin the study of reading and writing and arithmetic, and how that's presented then in grade one through the imagination. And having gotten to that point, it began to be possible in future mornings for us to really begin to look at this picture of what the imagination represents and how we work imaginatively with the students in the Waldorf School.
We hope that you've enjoyed this week's episode of The Watershed. If you'd like to share your thoughts on the show, please visit our Charlottesville Waldorf School Facebook page. And while you're there, please let us know of any topics that you'd like for us to cover in the future. If you are new to our community and would like to learn more about what our school has to offer, or to schedule a tour, please visit our webpage at www.cwaldorf.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.